What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
T-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. S1 engine ignition, MLO is high. Liftoff of Alpha Flight 2 on its mission to the black.
Second time's the charm. Firefly Aerospace successfully reached orbit, deploying satellites a year after a failed first launch attempt. The 95-foot-tall Alpha rocket joins a small but growing club of commercial space companies that have reached orbit, including Rocket Lab, Astrospace, Virgin Orbit, ULA, and SpaceX.
And there's a huge market that's going to fill that payload bay. We want to be on a cadence that this company could produce rockets and launch capability that we could do 6 next year and then 12 the year after. Very much within our grasp.
Austin-based Firefly, which is valued at just over $1 billion, has had a roller coaster year. There's a new CEO at the helm, Bill Weber, and I caught up with him to discuss the recent milestone and the startup's ambitious future. I'm Morgan Brennan, and this is Manifest Space.
So you've just come off a very big milestone for Firefly Aerospace. Talk to me about the successful launch you just pulled off to orbit.
Oh, well, look, there's so many different levels to that. You certainly got the people, you know, EQ, human interest side of this. What I saw in that launch control center and on the pad later and just in the days since then is the absolute triumph of people that have put their entire life's passion into making sure that that rocket got to orbit and achieved what we were hoping it was going to achieve. So that was fantastic. You know, on the just on the science and technology side of things, it is incredibly difficult, obvious statement number one that I'll make today, incredibly difficult to do what Firefly did on Saturday morning. It's why so few have. And so there's an incredible sigh of relief and you know, take a breath for half a second on that note alone. And then there's the business side of this that's just really fascinating. That space more and more is not a science experiment. It's not a one-time anything. It is more and more companies legitimately showing that space is open for business. There are good, reputable organizations that are able to take those who seek to get to space there. And Firefly just announced our presence pretty loudly in that realm too. So, I mean, we couldn't be more happy. There's a whole lot more to do. And we know we're not alone in this race. There's a lot of really good organizations that are gonna come, you know, right behind us and several that are already there. So it's exciting, no doubt.
So given the fact that you did just announce your presence so loudly with a successful launch to orbit, have you seen more business come in just since that happened?
Yeah, we were going to have our sales and business development people join me on this call, but they're busy taking orders right now. We had a lot of interest because Firefly hasn't been bashful about what we aspire to do. And Alpha was a when, not an if. And so we've been in dialogue and discussion with customers, commercial customers, and certainly government customers for a long period of time. But what started with AE when they bought the company and completed the Series B investment earlier this year, February, March timeframe, certainly will continue from with my leadership going forward. We're not really interested in taking a bunch of non-binding pieces of paper that have really, really, really low discounted price points for something we aspire to try to go do going forward. What we will do and what we have done is have very rational, mature conversations with customers. And then when we're ready and when we can actually do what we say we can do, then we'll sign contracts and we'll sign agreements that that give them a manifest and give us the assurance that they have a payload that needs to go up. And so that work is going like gangbusters right now since Saturday. So it's very we've got a lot of plans for 2023 and four, and I don't think we're going to have any issue with any issues Firefly faces will not be who's going to ride and you know how full the payload will be.
Run through some of the numbers with me. So it's $15 million is the price tag for a launch.
Right.
You're looking to do one more before the end of this year and then ramp that cadence up next year?
Yeah. So so cadence is the important thing. There's so many things about launch schedule that you just can't publish a calendar and say, here it is, right? There's those who have done this know there are a lot of different factors that will weigh in that Firefly itself does not control. Some of them are customer-based. Some of the payloads that desire to get into space in 2023 are still being worked on right now, and there may be changes there. And so what we want to do is control the things that Firefly can do. So $15 million, we believe, is a price point that the market says, look, for that value, I get my own ride. I don't have to ride share, and I get exactly where I want to be in volume, in bulk. As opposed to something too small or too large, which are the current options for anybody, whether it's a lower 300 kilogram payload that doesn't have the capability that Alpha does, or a rocket that is significantly larger, so you're riding with somebody else. So we think 15 million, based on what we've heard from customers, is the right place to be. And there's a huge market that's going to fill that payload bay. We want to be on a cadence that this company could produce rockets and launch capability that we could do 6 next year and then 12 the year after, very much within our grasp. And so right now that we have proven we can do it, that's the activity that if you came to Firefly today, whether it was in Cedar Park or out at our Briggs facility in Texas, you would see activity focused on that, and then at Vandenberg, reconditioning that pad so we're ready to go as soon as we can.
Let's talk a little bit about that market. Mm-hmm. You said it's a really big opportunity. When we talk about medium lift, how big is the total addressable market there? And given the fact that you do have some competitors who maybe haven't made orbit yet, but kind of nipping at your toes, be it an ABL space or maybe a Relativity, or I know Rocket Lab's developing a new rocket as well. How do you think about that landscape?
Yeah. So first of all, let me just say that I think there could, if you're not careful, there could be an arrogance that creeps into our celebration that would say we got there, nobody else will. That's just ridiculous, right? And so our perspective is Relativity and ABL are filled with just as many passionate, driven people and believe in their technology and the approach they're taking, they're going to get there. I don't think there's anybody inside Firefly that says, oh, they'll never, right? But we all do know it is tough to go from where any of the those that desire to get into orbit, it is tough to go from where they are to that space. And so what's the undefined is how long will it take? And so so for us, what we're suggesting is we're ready now. And by the way, more providers in the payload lift capacity that we're in is good for everybody. It's certainly good for customers. It's good for the market. More legitimacy means more customers will say, okay, now I can really think about deploying my constellation or my asset, whatever it happens to be. There's plenty of room. So here's how we would define the market. Rather than get into numbers that your listeners or watchers would go, well, I'll take issue with, you know, the source of this or otherwise, you know, the internet and social media is fantastic for that, right? Here's what we do know. Launch capacity for the first time ever in 2023 will be eclipsed by the desire of things and organizations that want to get to space for the first time. So there will not be enough lift as scheduled right now with capability that is available in 2023 for those that say I have well-funded or developed payloads, assets, spacecrafts that need to fly. Now that's projected to continue through the end of the decade in the medium launch class. And so what we say is, how many legitimized launch companies can exist? I don't know the answer to that. And I think anybody that would try to tell you it's X number, you should probably check their source and their data and why they believe that. What I do believe is that there's plenty of room for all of those that are here now and a few others. We've got work to do collectively as a community to get the assets to space that need to get there. We're not worried about, hey, you know, it's just going to become a competitive fight. There won't be dozens of launch providers, but there could be, and there may not even be double digits, but there's enough room for all those that have plans to get there. If all of them were successful to get to orbit in the near term, the competition's good for all of us. It makes us sharp on the provider side. It tells customers they have options that they may not have had before. Mm-hmm. We're not afraid to compete.
And of course, launch is just one business that you're looking to build out at Firefly Aerospace. You're looking to be much more vertically integrated. So the space flight services, not to mention some of the other hardware as well, but I guess just walk me through some of the other business lines that you're currently developing.
Yeah, so Firefly's future is built on, you know, three pillars, and they are equally as important. They're all critical to our success going forward. First of all, it's to get Alpha, as we talked about, into full rate production capability. Not once, but once a month, and then once a week. And as it's the workhorse of that medium launch capability, right around that same time, built on the same technologies, a larger structure of an all composite carbon composite rocket, and a very similar tap off engine cycle technology engine, which is patented in the Reaver engine in Alpha, will then turn into the Miranda engine in the MLV. And so it's a larger version of Alpha. It's not a redesigned rocket. It's not new technology that this company's never proven. It is just a scaled up version at 13,000 kilograms of what we're doing at 1,300 kilograms with Alpha. And so right around the time that Alpha is at once a month, we will come online with MLV through our agreement with Northrop. And so, interestingly, lo and behold, in between those two events, we're going to put a lander on the moon. Our spacecraft, Blue Ghost, through a contract that is already underway. If you came to Briggs today, you could touch components of it. You can see where it's going to be tested. You can meet the program team that's building it today. It is going through testing as we speak. It's not notional. It's going to fly. And if NASA wants to move that mission up, we intend to be in a position where we could do that. And then that'll give way to other spacecraft. We can talk about that in a bit. But our idea is, if we're launching and we have spacecraft that go on our vehicles, then we control a lot of the variables that stop customers today. And it also gives us a more than competitive chance at the business model when, again, we control launch and we control things that land, orbit, or remain on station. That's a great place for Firefly to be. And that's the company that we are today, not the one we aspire to be down the road. All those things, by the way, that I just talked about, we're building them today. We have contracts and revenue to do that today.
Yeah, that's such a, I mean, that's a key point that you're making as well. I mean, how great is the moon opportunity? We know it's tens, if not potentially, when all is said and done, hundreds of billions of dollars in terms of Artemis. I mean, is it Artemis? Is it commercial opportunities that stem off of Artemis? How are you thinking about it?
Yeah, so there's, you know, obviously there's different ways that NASA is viewing, all right, how do we view the return to the moon, right? And so the program set that we're part of is the CLPS program inside of NASA. The Artemis is really focused on ultimate people returning to the surface of the moon, all right? So they're two complementary, right? Ours is a get there, get on the ground, and then gather data and pull that back with payloads that will deliver a ton of information that'll be complementary. But you have to do the one before you can do the other. And so they're very much hand in glove. Success in one gives a lot of optionality for future launches. And so you asked how great it is. Man, if we had a party today and said, all right, everybody who's going to put something on the moon, show up to the party, we'd be partying with ourselves and, you know, maybe a couple of other organizations. It's a select group. But you do, you have to pinch yourself around here when you say, this isn't a dream of what we hope to do. We're building it. It's going to fly in the next 18 months or so. Some of that's variable, but it's going. It's going in the first half of 2024. And we're on track to meet that schedule. And the customer couldn't be more pleased with our performance on that mission. So we're stoked. There's no doubt about it.
And how does this pave the way for other types of future spacecraft?
Yeah. So again, very similar, picking up on that theme. We don't just want to do something once. The people that are building Blue Ghost didn't put their life's passion into this just to kind of, you know, win the science experiment or the science expo. What our vision is that you use the learnings, just like we have with Alpha going into MLV, use the learnings of building Blue Ghost and the vertical integration, the very same processes, the same manufacturing floor, the same materials management, a lot of the same engine and thrust technology that goes into our set. Use that across all of them. Ultimately, what we're going to do, and we're going to fly this next year, is we're building a space utility vehicle line of craft, an SUV line of craft. And the idea would be, it's a very flexible platform. It's going to fly on Alpha, and then we'll build a larger iteration that could fly on MLV. The idea there is, first, it's a boost, a third stage, or a kick stage to get the payload further up into orbit or to an exact point, because that becomes more and more critical as more things go there and as we have further reach. And not only will it act as an additional stage for accuracy, it can remain on station. It can be refueled. It has a useful life, and it is a, you know, 1-800 move my space object type of a, you know, service offering to our customer set, that either they can buy their own asset from Firefly and we'll manage it for them and manage it in orbit where they have it on call to reposition or do surveillance or to deorbit, clean up trash. The FCC guidance and ruling that just came out recently is huge. We're all fans of sustainability and not damaging that environment. Well, you got to do something with all the things that are there. And so SUV is again, we're going to fly that on an Alpha mission sometime in the 2023 timeframe. And it'll continue to build and develop from there. That's what we're doing. And so, again, the idea would be, we are an end-to-end space transportation company. We can get you there. And then when you're there, depending on what you want to do, we can build you the craft that's going to do it for you.
It's pretty amazing. You're gearing up for a very busy 2023, it sounds like.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of dirt being moved around within Firefly right now to make room, no doubt.
Wow.
No
doubt. I guess along those lines, I want to go back to the rocket engines for a minute.
Yeah.
But the Miranda engine you mentioned, how did that partnership, I mean, I've had multiple conversations with Kathy Warden over at Northrop Grumman, where she's talked about how closely she's watching so-called new space and commercial space and, you know, the opportunity for partnerships. How did this partnership come about?
Yeah, it's a great partnership. Again, I think it takes the very best of legacy space and all the lessons that they've learned over, you know, a long, long period of time. And it takes the innovation and flexibility that new space brings to the table. And it says to all of us, okay, well, if you could combine those forces together, and you have the power and the girth of something like Northrop Grumman combined with, what Firefly brings to the table, man, you might have something there. And so we do. So it started well before, hostilities in Ukraine broke out. We were in discussions on an advanced second stage build out. Interestingly, on the second stage, those conversations began with Northrop Grumman. So that allowed the organizations to get to know each other. And this predates me. So I'm somewhat of a historian here, kind of telling what I knew as I got to know the company and said, all right, very same question you had. How legitimate and well-developed is this partnership? Well, it turns out it was years in the making. Got to know each other, got to know the cultures. Are they compatible? Frankly, some new space and legacy space companies don't go well together. But there was commonality there and a similar drive of, let's make this you know, work in the future. And then when things happened the way that they did with the war in Ukraine and the tragedy that that is on a human level, notwithstanding, it also interrupted significant capability that is required for space. And so Northrop Grumman found themselves with a little bit of a gap that needed to be filled. And so those conversations around the second stage then quickly turned to, could you develop a first stage for us using similar technology to what you're already doing? And then could we bring that to our customer and get their buy-off? And that happened in rapid succession. Would not have happened if the company wasn't in discussions well in advance of, you know, a major event like the war in Ukraine. And so the foundation was set. We were able to move fast. They were very interested in moving fast. And that's where you saw the cooperative partnership come together. So we couldn't be happier. It certainly gives us a huge validation. Northrop Grumman could have picked anybody to work with, anybody, including do it themselves. They they have some resources. Kathy could probably wave her hand and make some things happen. But they chose instead to work with Firefly. And we couldn't be happier that they did. And we're going to make it the best decision they've ever made.
Mm. I mean, yeah. Firefly's been, it's interesting because as we're talking about your goals and milestones you're looking to achieve in 2023, I mean, 2022 has been a pretty intense year for Firefly as well. And you just mentioned that, you know, you're pretty new to the helm here.
Yeah.
So I guess just walk me through that process, because it really, I mean, speaking of Ukraine, it really started with founders last fall, new ownership,
yeah,
new investors. You know, where have we come from in the past year and where does it go from here in terms of, yeah, in terms of all of that?
Sure. So look, companies like Firefly have an iteration and a maturity model that they go through. And there was a point in time a while ago where the decisions were made to do a capital raise. And so that source of capital was Ukrainian in its origin. And later on, there were some issues that arose from that, frankly, that our customer, the U.S. government said, look, we're just not comfortable. It's got to, you know, in order to do more with us, it's got to change. And so that was a turbulent time, because obviously when you pin your structure on that kind of a build and resources from there, and then that's interrupted, it can create some uncertainty. And so the company's fortunes really changed dramatically when AE said, look, in the Series B, we'll not only participate, but we'll take ownership of the entity overall. And so the financial stability, the industry knowledge, and the experience that they can bring to bear in this company, their thumbprints are all over what's going on inside Firefly today. And it's been a great relationship. I don't think anybody in the company, and I've talked to you know, most, many, if not all of the folks here at Firefly, I haven't heard a single person express anything other than, you know, thank goodness that there is a mature, legitimate relationship that our customer's comfortable with, that has the backing that we need. And so first, when you get that underpinning and that foundational work done, it allows you then a lot of flexibility going forward to say, all right, what can we build on top of that? Then came the Northrop Grumman agreement and the validity and validation that that provided. Then came the continued build out of the management team, being able to attract folks with different skill sets than the company had before, like me, but not certainly not restricted to me, and maybe not even the most important of which is me. People that would say, okay, I'd love to come help you in this cause. It's a noble one and it's a fascinating one. And then, you know, all of that leading to contracts that are starting to come in and a successful launch. So it's been a monumental 2022. But I think we'd tell you haven't seen anything yet. It's just hold on. This is going to be a really interesting 18 months for this company.
Mm. So we get through that 18 months. We get through all those milestones. What's the vision for the company? Does it become public? Does it stay private? Does it maybe become bigger or inquisitive? Like, how are you thinking about all of those different, I guess, capital raise possibilities and expansion possibilities?
Yeah, sure. So here's what I'll tell you. Voice of experience here. Haven't done this sort of thing a time or two. have run public companies, have IPO'd, have run private companies that sold to public entities and vice versa. What I'll tell you is, sitting in the spot that Firefly is in today and trying to time the market and say, all right, make no mistake, we are preparing for X. I think that's irresponsible. I think our job here, all that stuff that, you got to kind of take a breath and go maybe even take a nap after you say it, because it's a lot to do. You go execute on that and you go be successful at Alpha 4A production, MLV coming to life and launching and carrying customers and landing on the moon and then building spacecraft capability. You do that well, all of those options are available. We will not have any issues of raising capital. If the right thing is for the company to consider a strategic partnership through an acquisition, then that will be there as a possibility. If the right thing is for us to gain access to the public markets, I'm quite sure we will be a very attractive IPO possibility. None of that happens if we don't go execute. So very long-winded way of saying, I don't know. And spending any cycles on that now, I think is irresponsible. We should put those more into, how do you go execute the day-to-day, month-to-month, quarter-to-quarter that this company needs to be sharp on, or none of that's possible. So that's how we're looking at it.
Yeah. Do you have enough capital right now to achieve what you're looking to do over the next year and a half?
We do. And again, part of that is the relationship and the financial stability we have with AE that wasn't there before. Now, when's the best time to go raise capital? When there's not a pressing need for it. And when you got a lot of things going your direction. So we got a lot of phone calls from a lot of different entities starting Saturday morning around 12:10 and Pacific time, that would be. So some of those were folks that said, listen, I missed out on previous space possibilities. I didn't get into SpaceX and could have. I don't want to miss the next one. Is that you? Can we have some conversation? And those are great, man. Those are fascinating opportunities. And that's and we're gonna take a look at all that and do the responsible thing for, you know, for our employees and our shareholders. That's my job, is to make sure we don't miss any of it.
It's pretty amazing how just in a couple of years, I find myself having more of these conversations with CEOs such as yourself of space companies and investors. It does, you know, as we see the space economy begin to actually open up now, all of those things that everybody's talked about for so long becoming reality, like a Firefly going to, you know, flying to orbit, that this is all actually now coming to fruition.
It's so real. Like I said, it is not there. You know, there are companies that have renderings out there and a lot of cool PowerPoint, but space is a fascinating, exciting business today. All I know for sure is Firefly's right in the middle of it.
Well, we appreciate your time to talk about all of it. So, Bill, thank you so much.
That does it for this episode of Manifest Space. Make sure you never miss a launch by searching Manifest Space wherever you get your podcasts and by following the Squawk on the Street podcast. For more on the space race, be sure to watch Squawk on the Street on CNBC. I'm Morgan Brennan.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.